Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the segment Bringing Sexy Back. This is Delicious Talk Radio. This is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. Good evening, everybody. How's everybody doing this evening? We were having a thunderstorm here with thundering and lightning, which I love the thunderstorms, but the lightning, I don't like it too much, especially if I'm out in it. But, you know, if it keeps skipping around me, that's all good, but I just love thunderstorms, okay? Yeah, so this week has been a very busy week for me. Saturday I went to a funeral. Sunday I went to visit my my cousin who's a cancer victim. I went to another funeral Monday, and it's just been, you know, it's been like that. But, you know, I'm just so grateful and thankful that I woke up this morning. And, you know, and anybody else who's listening to me, you know, be grateful and thankful that you did as well. Because tomorrow is not promised to any of us. Okay, with that being said, I'm going to bring in my co-host, and we're going to get this show on the road. Good evening, Rhea. How are you, darling?
I'm fine. How are you today?
I am just fantastic, girl. I think, you know, if I was any better, I'd be scared. You know, I mean, because, you know, you have to look at it, you know. You know, it's beginning to start up again. When I was going to funerals, it seemed like every other month or every other week or something like that, because my BFF, well, we rekindled our friendship as well, because we had been on the outs for a couple of years, and her son died June the 7th. So the funeral was Saturday, and, you know, it was very emotional for me because, you know, she and I, we've been through so much. You know, she was there for me when my mom died, and, you know, different changes that I went through in my life, as well as me being there for her. But this particular time I wasn't there for her, but we talked and, you know, rekindled our friendship. And so, you know, because we've been friends for about 42 or 43 years. And, you know, just to really throw away a friendship like that is really kind. Because I was heartbroken when, you know, we went through what we went through, but when she explained to me what had happened, you know, I was, you know, because I had to apologize to her, because it was more or less, it was my fault, but it went down to the point where I didn't know what was going on with her when it happened. But, you know, us getting our friendship back on the road was a good thing. And so everything's good now. And then Monday, Sunday, I have a cousin who's suffering from uterine cancer, and she's coming along pretty good, so I'd just be glad when I can put the fact on it. She's a survivor, you know, but I think she has a few more chemo, you know, sessions to go through. But her spirits are really good. She's, you know, really happy, and I'm glad for that. You know, we go up there every Sunday to, you know, be around her, and, you know, just, you know, because people, when they're in situations like that, you know, the more people that be around and, you know, give them attention, that gives them that much more strength to survive and want to survive, you know. So I did that Sunday. Right, then Monday, went to another funeral. A friend of my daughter's had died. She had uterine cancer. She had died, so she didn't want to go to the funeral by herself, so I went with her. And it's just been, you know, one thing after another. But, you know, like I said, anybody who hears my voice and is listening to the show, just, you know, thank God each and every day that you're blessed to wake up. Just always remember that tomorrow is not promised to any of us. And if you get tired of hearing me say that, I'm sorry. But some people, you know, actually think that, you know, well, I ain't never going to happen to me. I'm going to be here, whatever. But, you know, you never know. So take care of yourself, you know, love yourself, and, you know, treat people the way you want to be treated, and, you know, just follow the golden rules. So, yep. Rhea, what have you been up to, darling?
Well, I met my grandson Saturday.
He is so cute.
He turned 3 months on Saturday, and, I mean, you talk about my heart being full right now. He does
I
not take well of people.
Mm-hmm.
He does not. You know, he's really into just his mama, his daddy, and his brother. Right.
Right.
When I walked up, because they were out in the park, barbecuing.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I walked up, my daughter was fussing at me because of something I did. Oh, I know what it was. They told me to bring a chair, and I didn't. And I brought a blanket. I said, I'll get down on the ground. And, you know, and then she said, how you going to get up? I said, with all these people out here, hell, y'all can all get up. Either y'all going to help me up or y'all going to be down there with me. And then my other son walked over and said, oh, she don't have no problem with that. And my daughter turned to look to him, and I looked at Rhea, and I bust up laughing because I told her when they had the barbecue after his football game, he had a tent, and he put me in the tent. Well, I was on the blanket, in the, you know, on the ground in the tent. And he told me, well, when you're ready to get up, let me know. Honey, please, I was in that tent, so couldn't nobody see me on my fours. I turned on my floors and got on up, and he said, oh, I didn't know you could move like that. So that was funny. But I'm really, really, every time I talk to the baby, he cracked up. And it hit me today. Was that little boy laughing at me or laughing with me? I don't know, but he was laughing at it.
So cute. He is definitely
twice
a cutie pie.
Thank you. Twice he did the full belly laugh. And they've never heard him do that before. It was hilarious to see them snapping pictures and taking every, you know, cause it was really a really, really great time with them. That was my first time meeting his mom and his brother.
Oh,
and that was the first time my son brought his family up here.
Right.
So it was a nice gathering, very nice gathering.
Well, that's good. You know, it's always nice when you got something to bring you together, sweet as a baby. But this evening we have a very special guest read her biography a little bit here. Her name is Cherie Cranford, and she's a student majoring in sociology, and she's also a self-published author and a single mother. She was born and raised in Detroit, Michigan, and writing has always been an outlet to life and everything that she has ever been through. She writes poetry, music, short stories, and urban fiction novels. She writes from experience, reality, observation, and exaggeration. Her love for writing began as a child and has followed her into adulthood. In 2014, she signed a literary contract with Mosey Publishing, LLC, in Oak Park, Michigan. Cherie self-published two books, which are Another Shady Mission is the title of one, in January 2014, and Electrocity in March 2014. Her books are available on MoseyPublishing.com and multiple online bookstores, and she is working on getting them into Detroit Public Library and small bookstores around the Detroit area. Cherie is busy working on her third novel, which is titled Another Shady Mission, Part 2. That's very interesting. That's very interesting. And we're going to get Cherie on the line right now so we can get this interview going. Good evening, Cherie. How are you, darling?
I'm fine. How are you guys?
Fantastic.
Just fine.
That's great.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about Cherie. Am I pronouncing your name right?
Cherie. Yeah, that's
Cherie.
Correct.
Okay, Cherie. We already know you're from Detroit, Michigan. Do you have any siblings, and, you know, what inspired you to start writing?
Well,
we'll get to the writing later. You have two siblings?
I have two siblings, two brothers. One older than me and one younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually going to be an auntie in November for the first time, so that's exciting for me.
Oh, okay. That sounds very nice. Okay, is your mom and dad still living, or?
Yes, my mother and father are still living.
Okay. All right, so let's talk about what inspired you to write.
Life,
I say,
inspires me to write life. Everything that I've been through growing up and just people telling me, like, you should write. Like, I always like reading. And then, you know, I started writing poetry in middle school. And from that, that's when I started reading, like, urban fiction books that was out, you know. And once I got into that and just going through the things that I went through in my life as a teenager and coming into adulthood, I just translated that into writing novels.
Okay, let's speak of some of the things you went through during your childhood, because you did, I think we spoke that you've been sexually abused as well as in a domestic violence relationship.
Yes.
Is that part of the inspiration for you to write?
Definitely, yes. That was a very life-changing situation for me. So, yes, definitely. In order for me to make it through that time, you know, I was separated from my mother, then, you know, I was forced to be with my father, basically, which, you know, I have good relationships with both of my parents, but being a female, you know, you really want to cling to your mother and not so much your father, because, you know, mothers, they, you know, nature, nurture theory,
right,
just how they treat you growing up as a woman, they're more understanding, it's easy to talk to them, you know, they're more on your level compared to your father, that's the person
right.
that's supposed to protect you. You can't really talk to them about certain things. And, you know, they really just go out and make the money, but you can't. It's really no, you know, relationship like that. So,
okay, so what type of, when you was abused, how old were you, and what type of abuse did you go through?
I was 14. I say when that really came out, it was sexual abuse. So I was 14 when it came out that it was going on. I ended up running away, I guess you can say, to go stay with one of my relatives. It was one of my aunties. It's crazy, I guess, because she actually passed away in April. But I used to go over there all the time, you know, growing up from zero until this year when she passed away. I used to always spend time over there. She was like, you know, second mother to me, I want to say, because I was really close to her daughter, seeing that I don't have no sisters and I was the only girl. So I ended up going over there. Then I had heard from my mother, like, it was her, you know, second husband. So I heard from her, like, he wanted to put me on punishment and all some other stuff when I get back home and all this. So I just told myself enough was enough, that I'm not going back. So from there, I just told my family, which was on my father's side, what had been going on with me. And from there, my auntie found out, and she actually, you know, took me to the police, and we filed a report against him, and that got everything started, and I pressed charges against him. So he did get some jail time, but he has been released recently, like I want to say a year ago or so. So he had like 8 to 10 years for that.
So this was, you said this was a relative? I didn't really hear that.
Yeah, it was a relative.
Okay. And you did tell your aunt about it?
Yes.
Well, that's good, because sometimes, you know, victims will keep that information to themselves out of shame, embarrassment, and, you know, different other reasons. But, you know, it's best when you get it out and, you know, let somebody know, because you could be so consumed in that guilt until it can cause you to, you know, do things, you know, to yourself, as far as like maybe it may cause you to become an alcoholic or a drug addict or, you know, whatever, just so you can, you know, deal with that hurt and that pain, you know, holding it in. So, you know, I congratulate you for doing that. So, and he went to jail and he got time for that, and that's a good thing. So is
yes.
he a registered sex offender, or
yes,
do you, have you seen or heard anything of him since he's been out?
No, I haven't seen or heard anything from him, but I know me and my mother was kind of a little shaky about that, like, okay, when is he going to be released? You know, I was iffy about that, like, wondering, do we want to move to another state, just so we felt comfortable, but we didn't. But we did find out, like, when he was getting released, and that he is a registered sex offender, and he has to stay, you know, a certain amount away from me. He can't come anywhere near me.
Okay, well, then that's good. That is so good, because sometimes they get out, especially, you know, relatives. And sometimes, well, I remember, it's you know, years and years ago, if someone had sexually molested somebody in the family, they wouldn't even, you know, report it, even if you maybe told your mother or somebody like that. Well, they would say, well, just stay away from him, you know, don't go around him, you know. And I think that it's best to get those types of people out of the picture, period, because if he molested you, he, you know, could have, you know, he may have even molested somebody else, you know, because they don't stop at one person. They do not stop at one person. You know, it's a sickness, and it's a perversion. And, you know, I have no tolerance for people who sexually abuse children, women, men, or whatever, because I'm a survivor myself of domestic violence as well as sexual abuse. So my tolerance for them is zero. You know, so whatever they do to them, you know, that's what they deserve. And I think when they let somebody out of jail and they get out of jail and they do it again, my thing is they should never really let them out of jail. Because sometimes when they get out of jail, they get worse. They may get out of jail this time, and the next victim may not be as lucky as the first victim who survived to tell on them, to put them in jail, you know, because they come out and then they say, well, I'm not going back to jail, so I'm going to kill this person, you know. So I just think that they should be in jail, and they should castrate them physically as well as mentally and, you know, be done with it. Because letting them out and putting a sign in their yard, sex offender lives here. I mean, what does that do? You know, it's really bad, because I would really not like for a sex offender to be living next door to me, you know, regardless of him having a sign in his yard and, you know, they're saying he's rehabilitated. You never know what could set him off again, you know. So my thing is to keep them in jail along with murderers as well, because, you know, I just can't see a person, you know, especially someone who's an habitual rapist or a sexual abuser, pervert, pedophile, you know, those likes, they never need to be let out of jail. But, you know, like I said, I commend you and congratulate you for telling and getting him off the street for, you know, the time that you did. But I don't think he really should have gotten out of jail.
I don't either.
Right. No, so how did your mom feel about that?
Well, I mean, she was hurt, but I want to say she was caught up in her own situation, too, because along with the whole domestic violence situation, he was very controlling, intimidating, and I guess she put a lot of fear in her. So at the same time, it was like she was afraid of a lot of things and scared, and you know, we both in the same position, but I just felt like, okay, I was waiting on my mama to get me the cue, like, okay, it's time to go, we about to go, because we were trying to, you know, sneak and leave. So, you know, under the radar, basically, but I just couldn't take it no more. I was tired of waiting, and I just decided to just leave and do it on my own.
Oh, okay. Wow, so, wow. You know, that's pretty sad, but, you know, now you've gotten, well, I know you haven't gotten over it, because it's just something that will stay with you forever, but you have moved on, and you are a survivor now, right?
Yes.
That's good. And so this is what had prompted you to write about this, your situation. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back, and we're going to get into your books, okay?
Okay.
All right.
You're listening to Bringing Sexy Back, right here on Delicious Talk Radio. There is no religion or politics spoken here, only delicious adult conversation. Audience participation is encouraged, so log in and create an account to engage in conversation in our chat room. Feel free to call in with your questions and comments at 646-652-2877. That's 646-652-2877. And let's get this delicious talk conversation going.
righty, then that's Earth, Wind, and Fire, Where Have All the Flowers Gone. That's such a beautiful song. We're here this evening with our very special guest, Sherry. We're here with our very special guest, Sherry. Sheree?
Oh, yes, I'm back.
I'm sorry, but I forgot your last name. But anyway.
It's Sheree.
Okay. Your last name, darling. We're here with our...
You don't got to say my German name. That's okay.
I just pulled a blank. I am so sorry, darling. But
that's okay.
Right. Okay.
I call myself Sheree.
Okay. We're here with our special guest this evening, Sheree, and we are discussing her life a little bit, how she's been, went through being sexually abused by a family member and how she came out a survivor. And she's an author, and what had prompted her to write the books that she's written, and she's also going to put out a third book. So we're going to dive into the book that the very first book that started it all, and we're also going to get you to read a little excerpt from your book as well. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay, now your first, the very first book you wrote was
Another Shady Mission.
Yes, Another Shady Mission. I'm sorry. What is this book about?
This book is about a husband and wife, and they're like a Bonnie and Clyde type of couple. Only difference is, you know, she more so dealing with the drug than her husband. And, you know, it's about a lot of drug sex shadiness. That's basically the theme of the book, shadiness.
Mm-hmm.
Who is, you know, the shadiest. And so I developed a plot about shady things going on, you know, in life today, involving marriage, you know, life, police, all those different themes also. And I just combined it into a book. And that's
mm-hmm.
how I came up with Another Shady Mission.
Oh, okay. So this is based off of some reality as well, right?
Yes, a little bit of reality, yes.
Okay. All right. So, how long did it take you to write the book?
Well, I've been writing this book actually for over 5 years. Really, I did. But I was, you know, I want to say I was playing at first because I didn't take it as seriously. Like, I didn't take writing as seriously as I take it now because I
mm-hmm.
have a lot of work, but they just be sitting around in notebooks and, you know, on my computer, on my flash drive, stuff like that. But it was like, I want to say this year was just a wake-up call for me because I'm getting older, you know. I have a
mm-hmm.
daughter. I have things that I'm working towards. And I just decided, like, this year I need to invest in myself. And then, you know, this year I also met somebody who could help me take my writing to another level. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I want to say I finally finished the book this year. So I started it for a long time ago, but I finally
mm-hmm.
finished it this year, and that's when I published it, right after I got the contract.
Okay, so you did you said a literary agency had picked you up?
Yes, actually, it's a funny story. One of my relatives, her name is Jale, and she's a model, I want to say actress. She's also a rapper in Detroit. And her producer owns a publishing company. So she was telling me, like, you need to meet him. You need to meet him. He can help you. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, she told me that plenty of times, and I never paid attention to it, like, whatever, I'm doing it my way, whatever. But then finally I was listening to her, and I said, you know what, you're right. Let's set up a meeting. So it was like right then and there, she called him on three-way. We set up a meeting. I went to his office to visit him. We talked about everything. And everything was sounding good for me. So he gave me the contract, and then I started putting out my product. So that's basically how it all happened. It happened so real fast, and that was at the beginning of this year.
So was that after you had finished the book, or were you still working on the book?
I was basically finished with it. The only thing I really had to do was to edit the book, but I was basically finished with it at that point. And I was ready to put it out, you know, there. And I was going to do the Amazon thing or whatever where it's free. It's called Create Space. That's what I was going to do until I found out about that. I used to try to get, you know, discovered by, like, the big publishing companies, but it never worked for me. So that's when I said, I'm going to go with the self-publishing path.
Mm-hmm.
When I found out about him, that's when I was like, okay, maybe we can go this way and see how this works.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So he published your book for you.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Now, would you like to read us an excerpt from that book?
I sure would.
Okay. We're ready.
So I'm going to start off with the introduction. So,
okay.
Every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. But for Pastor Boone Mitchell and Darnell Smoke Mitchell, everything they had and would have was a catch-22. The prominent areas in the city of Detroit were their paradise, but the dubious snakes of Detroit were their hell. The dynamic couple was still in the newlywed stages of their courthouse marriage, but nothing, not even eternity, was ever going to snatch them apart. Even though Pastor wanted to be the first family member in her Boone family to have a real wedding, she refused to have a real wedding without her father. Every father may dread the day they have to walk their daughter down the aisle and put their daughter's life and heart in the hands of a man. But still, every father is there for that moment. But Pastor was denied that chance. So for Pastor, she was more in love with her ring and her husband than submitting to society's typical wedding norms.
Okay. So that was the intro?
Okay. Yes, that was part of the introduction.
Okay, so would you like to read us a little something from one of the chapters? Very juicy piece.
A very juicy piece? Okay, let's see what I find. That's juicy.
Rhea, do you have any questions of Cherie?
Not yet.
Oh, okay. And anybody out there listening, if you have a question or a comment for Cherie, feel free to call in. The call-in number is 646-652-2877 and hit the 1 when the operator prompts you to put your hand up. You hit the 1, that'll put your hand up, and that means that I can pull you in and you can ask your question or make your comment. That number again is 646-652-2877. You ready, Cherie?
All right, yes. I'm going to read a part towards the end of the book since you want to hear some juicy, okay?
All right.
So it's fine if I use that profanity.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, just making sure now.
Yeah, because you can't take anything away from the story now. You have to give it to us.
No, I can't.
Go on, darling.
Okay. What's up, Champagne? Before Champagne even looked out her hood little security hole, she opened up her door, and at that point, Grant and Chill bogarted their way past her, slamming and locking her wooden door behind her. Grant manhandled her while Chill checked the house to make sure it was clear. And since Grant didn't hear any gunshots and Chill was back no time it was apparent that the house was not secured via them. Where the fuck is everybody at, Champagne? Up your ass and around the corner. Grant popped her to the left side of her face with his silver-plated pistol. No, they not, bitch. I believe they left your ass to rot by your damn self, and they probably have gone out of town to sell the work while you try to be the independent big bad boss. So what? Just go ahead and kill me. Bitch, suck my gun first. Grant took his gun and inserted it into Champagne's mouth like a penis. And you better suck it like this was the best dick you ever had. So Champagne did as she was told to spare her wretched life. She was swallowing and deep throwing his gun up and down her wide-ass throat. Bitch, you nasty. Chill left the Champagne and Grant antics to go find Passive and remove her from the house if she agreed. The last room on the left was the room where Passive was being held. Chill couldn't believe how he found her. Back all ate up by a whip, hands tied, ankles tied by a telephone extension cord, and face covered up with a pillowcase, and practically naked like somebody was going to sexually destruct her if they didn't do so already. Chill freed Passive of all her bondages and gave her his jacket so she could cover herself up.
Wow. That sounds very interesting. What do you think, Rhea?
It does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds very interesting. Well, we do have a caller. I'm going to bring this caller in and see if they have a question or comment for Cherie.
Okay.
Good evening. Good evening, caller 313-978. Are you there?
Yeah, hello.
Hi.
Hi, I'm just calling to say that that's a good book, even though I'm on the cover. It is a good book.
Oh, you're
book.
On the cover.
Yeah, I'm Jale.
Oh, well, okay. Well, all right.
Yeah, I don't
so
even read hood novels or nothing like that, but I like the book. It was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, so what would you... How would you promote her book? How would you get someone to buy her book?
Well, usually if I'm doing an interview, I just promote it and just, you know, say, go pop that Another Shady Mission or on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But usually
so
I do interviews I promote it for.
Oh, okay. So that's what you would tell them, to go buy the book. Okay. So, and you're the model on the book.
Yeah, I'm the model. Jale, a.k.a. Detroit's Nasty Girl.
Oh, all right. All right. Okay, so are you...
cousin she mentioned earlier.
Huh?
I'm the cousin she mentioned earlier.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's all in the family. All right. Ain't nothing wrong with that, though, you know, because sometimes that'll save a little... revenue or, you know, help you out as well. And you're a model?
Yeah, I'm a model. I act, do stage plays. I'm also a popular Detroit rapper. And, yeah.
Okay, so are you on Facebook?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook. I'm everywhere.
Oh, okay. All right,
yeah.
So we're going to be looking out for you as well.
Okay.
So do you... Okay, now, getting back to you, Cherie, that, you know, book sounds very interesting. and what, are you any characters in your book?
No, I'm not none of the characters, but, you know, I take my characters from people around me.
Okay. We have another caller. Let's bring this caller in. I'll call 313-721. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
You have a question or comment for Cherie?
Yes, I do. I actually heard her story, and I feel like she's a brave young lady for what she has been through and overcome. I also want to tell her that I feel her pain. I like the fact that you said that she was a mother, a single parent, and all of that. I like the fact that I read her book, and it is actually very interesting. I have her second book that I have yet to get into, only because I'm actually waiting on her to come out with another Shady Mission Part 2 because I know there's got to be a 2. So I'm just waiting before I read the, what is it, Lictrocity? But I just want to commend her on her success thus far.
What was the best part of the book to you?
Oh, it was a couple best parts, but now since I'm waiting on the second book, I would have to say when Smoke was kidnapped. I don't want to ruin it, but...
Right.
I don't want to ruin the book, but I want to say when he was kidnapped, it was a doozy. So it was hell. So hell on earth.
So how would you promote her book? How would you get me... Say if I wanted to buy her book, but I was a little hesitant, how would you get me to purchase her book?
I mean, Sheracy is dope. Her books are fire. You know, she takes her mind and puts everything on paper, from what I'm seeing, you know, and she brings it to life in those books. All I can say is it's dope. You know, and I would definitely recommend that somebody grab them books and put their eyes to that page, you know. So I don't know how else to promote it, but if there is anything I can do, I'm here in Detroit as well. I'm a Detroit resident. So if there's anything I could possibly do, you know, I would link up with her or anything to try to help promote her, you know, because that's great.
Okay. All right. Thank you for calling in. And do you have a question or a comment you'd like to say to Cherie?
No, other than just keep doing whatever you're doing. And don't ever let anything or anybody knock you down. Your current situation, you know, is a survival story of what you have been through, and it only has made you stronger as a person and as a mother. Keep doing what you're doing so your child can watch you. You know, I think you said you had a daughter in the book. Her name is Kaya. You know, she's watching everything you're doing, you know, and they're the next generation. So keep doing what you're doing.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling in, dear. All right, so we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back, and we're going to talk about Cherie's second book.
Listen up, I got to tell you about this beautiful author and publisher, Gail Delicious Johnson. Gail Delicious Johnson is proud to announce the publication of her new, revised issue of her latest suspenseful novel, Back to Zero. Read this riveting story of intrigue, conflict, love, and suspense. Follow the trail of abuse, secrets, lies, and love. And check it out. You can't just read the back of the book because you have to prepare yourself for the mind-blowing, explosive ending. Order your personally autographed copy of Back to Zero by visiting www.jjpublishing.com. That's www.jayjaypublishing.com.
us, Barbara Mason. Yes, I'm ready. Alrighty then, we're right back here with our special guest, Cherie, this evening. We've been talking about a few things, her life, what she's been through as a young adult. She also is an author as well, published 2 books and is working on a 3rd book. We just heard a little excerpt from her 1st book, Messy. I'm sorry, what's the title of your book, darling?
Another Shady Mission.
Another Shady Mission, which she's going to be putting out a sequel to that book very soon. So,
yes.
Yeah, right. So now we're going to talk about her 2nd book, Lictrosity.
Lictrosity.
Lictrosity, okay. Tell us a little bit about Lictrosity and what prompted you to write that as well, and we also would like to have you to read an excerpt from there as well.
Okay. This book is a little bit more personal as far as in relationship to my life and relationships, because I wrote this book about an alcoholic, and I was coming from the perspective of, you know, being with an alcoholic, how an alcoholic reacts and acts in certain situations, and just period, because it's
mm-hmm.
difficult to be around someone like that, and that's the experience that I've had. So I decided to turn that into a book, but it actually started off when I first decided that I was going to write this book. It actually was going to be called Southern Fires, which is a restaurant that's actually in Detroit. But, you know, I do a lot of research when it comes to my writing. And when I looked up the title, I saw that, you know, that wasn't really that title was kind of already taken. So I decided,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, I need to dig deeper and find something a little bit more, you know, that's mine and not no one else's. So I came up with the title Lictrosity. That stands for the L-I-Q, you know, liquid. Or liquor is atrocity, in short for an atrocity, you know, like
mm-hmm.
a disaster, a bad event, all of that. So basically, that's how I came up with it. And when I first, you know, had my idea on what I wanted this book to be about, I wanted it to be about fire, because you look at the cover, you see fire, and, you know, that's what I wanted the book to be based about, because I actually had a cousin, and she was talking to a guy, and all of a sudden his house had caught on fire. And at the same time, he had all this other stuff going on with his wife, like he was married. He went to sleep.
You're fading in and out, darling.
Still, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. So, I was saying, when I first started writing this book, Lictrosity, it started from an idea that I got from one of my relatives, because one of my relatives were talking to a guy whose house all of a sudden caught on fire, but he had, like, moths going on in his life at the same time, whereas
mm-hmm.
he was married, but he was no longer with the wife anymore, but they weren't divorced. So he had multiple women. So this is what, you know, prompted me to write this book called Lictrosity, the whole experience that I had with the whole relative situation, then just my spiritual alcoholic. I decided to turn the main character of my book to this guy who has multiple women. He's an alcoholic. He has all these different things going on, as well as the characters. Each of the characters in the book have all sorts of issues, too, that
mm-hmm.
has to deal with, you know, liquor or some type of liquid or fire or just an atrocity, period. So that's basically where I was coming from with this book.
Oh, okay. That sounds very intriguing, you know, how you put that together and the reason why you put it together like that. So you ready to read an excerpt for us from that book?
Oh, I sure am.
Okay, make it a nice, juicy one.
I got a nice, juicy one, too. And this starts off with chapter 1 in this book. It's called Drunken Love, chapter 1.
Drunken Love?
Yes, Drunken Love, like the Beyonce song.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Because we're talking about alcoholics here, so you got to make it good.
Yeah.
So Detroit was a very scorched metropolis, and so were all the outlying cities surrounding it. Chisel was laid back in his driver's seat between his back seat and his car rooftop. He was all alone on the bullseye of Detroit's east side in his CTS Cadillac, like sleeping in your car was the most economical way to save money. Trying to accumulate some body heat, Chisel kept his Al Stein coat zipped up from his waist to neck. Still half tipsy from yesterday's liquid love, Chisel couldn't remember all of the events that transpired in his alcoholic life. His trunk was loaded, stacked, and packed with some of his most valuable belongings because he knew he had screwed up big somehow. He just didn't remember exactly how. Look, you dumbass, bumass, slimeball. Hayes poked her index finger at Chisel's chest, scowling in his yellowish-reddish eyes. This is my fucking house, and I want your drunken ass out. Since you don't want to quit drinking, stay the fuck away from me and your son. Bitch, you got me confused. When did this become your house? You better take your watermelon head ass home. Motherfucker, wait. You just go. You ain't shit, and you ain't never going to be shit with your short dick ass. Chisel had 100 triggers that could set him off like the speed of light at any given time, and saying he wasn't shit and wasn't never going to be shit was one speedy way to do it. Growing up, Chisel's mother always scarred him with those same blurred lines, which left him with strong disregards towards women. In his menacing eyes, every woman was just like his mother. She was automatically a liar, a conniver, and a cheater. Sums it all up, with or without proof. Never try to stroke a man's ego when he is already liable to cause bodily harm to you just on the strength of your gender. Hayes was definitely going to learn today. Bitch, you better watch how you talk to me in my house. Immediately, Chisel headed for Hayes in a Jason crazed kind of walk and slung her out of her house shoes like a plastic bag in the wind. Okay.
Wow. Call him a watermelon head. And a short dick. Wow, is there any comedy in that book? Or, you know, because
I do comedy.
Yeah, because most alcoholics will give you a laugh. They most definitely will. Something they may do, a little dance or something they may say or something they do, but alcoholics will give you a laugh.
Wow. There's definitely comedy in the book.
Wow. So now you're going to do a sequel to your first book. Can you give us a little bit of what that's going to be about, or have you decided what it's going to be about yet?
I definitely decided. I actually started writing. I plan on finishing that sequel this month. So it should be out sometime in July. But the sequel now, at the first book, something that I want to do in my sequel, just being a reader and knowing how most sequels are, you know, in the writing industry. Personally, creating new characters, like I do want some new characters, but I want to start from where I left off in the first book, number one. Then I want to bring all my characters back in a, you know, shady kind of way is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to bring all my characters back into the book, reintroduce them, and, you know, elaborate on their life some more, period. I'm not going to take away from the main characters now, which are smoking passes. I'm not. But it's going to be a lot more shadiness going on. It's going to be way more drama, way more everything. So that was my first book, so I came out a little bit, but, you know, it's always more. You can't give it all away the first time now. So. I definitely have a lot of ideas about where I want this book to go and, you know, where I want to happen. So, you know, like one of my callers said at the end of the book, one of the characters were kidnapped, which is funny because, you know, they actually both end up being kidnapped. Only, you know, I wanted my book to be different. Like, that's something that I try to do as a writer. I try to think the opposite of what the reader thinks is going to happen. Like, if you think it's a vibe, you know what I'm saying, when I'm writing, I might take thought and I'd be like, okay, if I was reading this, what do I think would happen or what normally happens? I try to stay away from that, definitely. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of components I use personally when I'm writing.
So let me ask you this. I know a lot of people, they do series. Like they'll have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all this connected to one story. Do you think maybe that's going to turn into that?
Definitely, definitely, yes. Definitely going to be a series. Like right now, I'm trying to work with a producer instead of turning Another Shady Mission into a play. So that's also something that I'm trying to do also while I'm writing the sequel to Another Shady Mission. So I'm definitely going to turn it into a series because it's just that good. So right now I'm looking at, you know, 4 right now.
4?
Yeah, 4. So
wow.
I'm working on 2. So, yeah, I think it's definitely going to be a 3 and a 4.
Mm. And is that going to be it or... Because I've actually seen, because I can't think of this author, but they have like 7 sequels to their first book. And, you know,
I said it might be more because that book is really good now. That book is literary fire. So it might be more. Mm-hmm. Because it's just like, you don't have to stop. It's like a soap opera. You can just keep going and going.
Wow. And so you said you're speaking to someone to get it into a play, you said?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Wow. Well, that sounds very interesting. Very interesting. So, let everybody know how they can get in touch with you.
Okay, so on Facebook, you get in touch with me at Sheree C. Write It Up. And you spell that C-H-E-R-A-A-E-C space Write It Up. As in W-R-I-T-E-I-T-U-P. On Twitter at A Shady Mission, so that's the letter A, Shady, S-H-A-D-Y, Mission, M-I-S-S-I-O-N. I'm also on Instagram at literary_Ray, so that's literary_RAEE. I'm also on LinkedIn also, but you should be able to find me on the Facebook, definitely, so that shouldn't be a problem.
Oh, okay. All right. So also, I was reading where you're majoring in sociology.
Yes, I am.
And what are you going to apply that to when you're finished with your studies? What are you going to apply that to?
Okay, well, because of what happened to me, you know, growing up, I always wanted to help other people or other women in my situation or, you know, who could, I guess, who had experienced my situation or just to inspire them, anything. I always wanted to do that. So I first started taking up social work, but when I was doing that, my daughter had got taken away from me, so I couldn't finish that, so I had to pick something else that was close to that. So that's why I ended up doing sociology, which, you know, I'm almost done with that, so that's good. I'll get my bachelor's degree, then I also want to go back to get my master's. I haven't decided exactly in what yet, but I was considering, like, conflict resolutions or social work. But that would be the sector I probably want to work in is, you know, probably for the state, helping families get back together, that kind of thing, or talking to women my age or younger than me, teenagers, just about the things that I've been through because, you know, I was raped, so I was taken from my mama. I was in the system. You know, I've had a child taken from me, so I experienced all that. So I really have a lot that I could offer someone who might feel like, okay, you know, they don't want to talk to, you know, a certain person just because of their title. But you never really know what a person has been through until you get to talk to them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, your life sounds very colorful. And,
yes,
you know, since you're, you know, you writing it in books and getting it out there, that's a good thing. And, you know, again, I congratulate you for coming, you know, not keeping that of a secret to yourself and, you know, letting it be known and, you know, getting someone off the street, even temporarily, you know, was good, but it should have been forever, you know, but that's how the system is set up.
Yes.
So, yeah, and congratulations on your two books, and, you know, I want you to come back when you get your third book out, or anytime you want to come back, you know, just get in touch with me and we'll have you on again. And, you know, I do wish you the best in any endeavors that you encounter. And give your information out again, once again, how people can get in touch with you.
Okay, I'm on Facebook at Sheree C. Write It Up. That's C-H-E-R-A-E-E-C space Write It Up, W-R-I-T-E-U-P. I'm on Twitter at A Shady Mission, the letter A. S-H-A-D-Y Mission. Then I'm on Instagram at Literary Ray, so that's LITERALLY _ RAEE. So.
And let everybody know how they can get your books as well.
Okay, you can order my books on Amazon. You can order them on Kindle. You can also go on my company website. That's M-O-C-M-O-C-Y Publishing.
You're fading out, darling.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. So you can also go on the company website that I'm published with, and that's on mocypublishing.com, and order the books from there. You can also, the Another Shady Mission is on Barnes & Noble. It's on eBay. It's on Kindle. So it's on Nook. And Litrocity, that's just on Amazon and Kindle, and it's also on the Mosi website. But Another Shady Mission is on all the bookstores, so you can just type it in and you'll see it. It'll come up and you can download it or purchase it from anywhere, just about.
Well, all right. I hope everybody heard that and, you know, go out and get this author's books and, you know, support her, because both of the books sound very good. You know, I'm going to check them out myself as well. And, you know, everybody needs, you know, everybody has a story to tell. And, you know, how you get it out there is how you get it out there, be it fictional, biograph, autobiography, or whatever. But, you know, when you got that story to tell, get it out there and tell it, you know, because that's how you feel, and it's good to write, you know, and, you know, just like Sheree was picked up by a publisher, you know, you get your book out there and you may get picked up by a publisher as well. So with that being said, we're going to give Sheree a great big round of applause for being here with us this evening.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Okay, Rhea, did you have any closing remarks for Sheree this evening?
No, I appreciate, just as the others have already stated, I appreciate you sharing your story. Sometimes others knowing that someone else has experienced something similar or what they've experienced makes could help one person to open up as well. And not just endure. So I commend you as well.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. So with that being said, you know, like I said, anytime you want to come back, you know, you just get in touch with me, and especially when your next book, Another Shady Mission, comes out, you know, I would love to have you on so you can promote that book as well. And like I said, I do appreciate you for, you know, coming on this evening. Okay, bringing sexy back.
Thank you
back.
For having me.
You're more than welcome, darling. Okay, bringing sexy back is for the mature listener audience. Our subject matter is sexual, but not limited to other social topics. We discuss relationships, current events, and issues relevant to everyday life. We appreciate you, our listener audience, for your questions and comments. And if you have a topic you'd like for us to discuss or would like to be a guest on the show, email me at gjdelicious37@gmail.com or to my co-host, Rhea Alexis. That's Rhea, R-H-E-A-A-L-E-X-I-S, at yahoo.com. My other co-hosts were sort of like off tonight. But we're here every Wednesday from 10:30 p.m. for an hour to an hour and a half. And sometimes it's a topic is juicy for the full 2 hours of adult conversations. Remember, bringing sexy back does not mean you've lost your sexy. Bringing sexy back is a state of mind and how you perceive yourself. Thank you, Rhea, for being my co-host tonight. And every Wednesday that you're here, I do appreciate you and love you for that. Also, to the listening audience, thank you for dropping by because you could have been anywhere doing anything. But you stopped right on by here in Delicious Talk Radio, this segment, Bringing Sexy Back, and spent a wonderful evening with me and my guest, Cherie. So with that being said, everybody have a beautiful weekend. And see you guys next week. Love you. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
My Nana got the best radio show on the internet.